Is finance a difficult subject to understand? Or is it made unnecessarily complex by the maze of products, laws, and advice that surround it? The Fiscal Fitness Company has simplified the financial planning process and stands ready to offer you the guidance and services that will give you a happily ever after ending to your money story. Contact us today at 888-865-1816 to find out how we can help you, or you can visit our website at fiscalfitnesscompany.com. That's fiscalfitnesscompany.com.
The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe, and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Moving into a new week, summer is bearing down on us. You are listening to the True Money Show on the Veritas Radio Network, the Crusade Channel. We have a crusade here. It's for the truth. We're doing our best to, as we say, conform our minds to reality and bring you that which is true and good and beautiful. Tough work here for sure, but we are doing our level best. I don't know if you listened to Mark Crescens this morning or Mike Church right after him from 8 to 11, but live programming on the Veritas Radio Network, and very refreshing because you don't hear this too much in the mainstream media. So I am David Simpson, and this is the True Money Show, and I am happy to be coming here this Wednesday at noon and every Wednesday at noon to try to, illuminate us on the areas of finance. I have a great guest today, and I can't wait to get to him, so I'm going to be kind of quick with my introductory remarks here. So I wanted to talk about, first, how you can contact us, so you can call in and talk to my guest, 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. I am also available via email, david@tffco.com. You know, if you want the easiest and most convenient way to listen, either to listen to the show or to contact the Veritas Radio Network, then download our apps. We have a Windows Phone app available in their App Store, the iTunes Store for the iPhone, and of course, and the Google Play Store for Android devices. The app, yes, it costs something, guys, because it costs something to produce these apps. The app is, but it's just $1.99 and gives you fingertip access to the Crusade Channel live stream, the Crusade Channel host bios, showtimes, Twitter and Facebook feeds, and, of course, all the new Crusade Channel preview feeds that you can kind of test each show out and listen to a little bit and see if you like it. So download, please. Download the app today And if you would just take an extra minute, please rate the app. Those ratings go a long way to attract other people to our network, and we're trying to, of course, expand our efforts. So try out the app, the Veritas Radio Network app, that is, mobile radio the way it should be. Okay, so I've always told you guys, and I'm going to continue to say this periodically because it helps to orient what this show is all about, what the purpose of the True Money Show is, and there really are three. The first is explaining and exposing the pernicious monetary system we all live under. I know that's kind of strange, but we talked about that before. The second is to advocate for a just and sound monetary system to replace it, and finally, counseling listeners on how to defend their savings and wealth until we do replace the unjust system that we have. So today we're going to be kind of focusing on area number two, advocating for a just and sound monetary system to replace the one we currently have. I've titled today's show Humane Economy, or, you know, working towards a humane economy. And I think you'll see how that kind of applies to my second purpose, which is what is the means by which we actually should operate in the economic realm to have a just and good society. So I'm going to start this off, before I introduce my guest, I'm going to start this off with a couple of quotations. Well, I'll tell you what, let me introduce the guest, and then I'll come to the quotations. So that'll be my first question for Dean Brock. So Dean Philip Brock, he has his MBA from the University of Notre Dame, or as we say down here in the South, Notre Dame. And he has a degree in, that's his MBA from the University of Notre Dame. He has a degree in business administration from Villanova. He's the assistant dean of the School of Business and Economics at Catholic University of America. Over the course of more than two decades, Dean Brock has held several posts in the for-profit and non-profit arenas. For example, he's worked for Mobil Oil, for the accounting consultancy Ernst & Young. He founded a company called, I'm assuming it's Squad, but SQAD Company. He's been awarded three patents for innovative marketing inventions. And then he moved into the nonprofit arena, the director of operations for the Midtown Center for Boys. He's worked as the vice president of St. John's College High School, the director of development for the Selinger School of Business at Loyola University of Maryland, before he started working in his current role as the dean of the School of Business and Economics at Catholic University. Dean Brock is also the father of eight children and resides in Washington, D.C. with his wife, Liz. I'm happy to welcome to the show Dean Brock. Are you there? Dean Brock, can we get you pulled up here so I can hear you? I'm going to check on getting our feed in for Dean Brock. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. We had one little technical glitch there. I said eight children. I think you may have had another in the meantime. Is that right?
Yes, and my wife may be listening on the stream, so I better correct that. I got to get them to update the website. Yeah, welcome little Lizzie in past October, so we have a nine-month-old.
Well, you know, you're almost twice the man I am. I only have five children. we'll play it out like that. So, Dean... Okay. Dean Brock, I hope you heard kind of what my objective today was, to talk about a humane economy on the True Money Show. Well, actually, throughout the Veritas Radio Network, you know, our goal is to seek out the truth and all these things. And we've had people come on the show to talk about, you know, subsidiarity before, and the idea of, distributism and so on, which I can't say I necessarily agree with or disagree with. I'm actually still in the searching phase as to what is the right economic system, or is there such a thing as the right economic system? But I want to start maybe our conversation off with a few quotes. And so if you bear with me, I'm going to read a few things, and then then we'll dive into some questions. So the first one says this: "For yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, for we were not disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. But in labor and in toil we worked night and day, lest we should be chargeable to any of you. Not as if we had not power, but that we might give ourselves a pattern unto you to imitate us. For also, when we were with you, this we declared to you, that if any man will not work, neither let him eat." So that's, of course, St. Paul's from 2 Thessalonians 3, it goes 8 through 10, I think. And then the second quote is this: "And one of the multitude said to him, 'Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who hath appointed me judge or divider over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for man's life doth not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, be not solicitous for your life, what you shall eat, nor for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than the meat, and the body is more than the raiment. O ye of little faith, and seek not you what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Be not lifted up on high. For all these things do the nations of the world seek, but your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that's our Lord, of course, in Luke 12, 13, and passages following. I excerpt a little bit, 13 through 34. So, Dean Brock, I guess my first question is, it seems like already there's a paradox somewhat between our Lord and St. Paul. Maybe almost, I'm not saying arguing in separate directions, because I think we can integrate these things. But my question is, am I wrong to say that there's kind of an economic paradox in Christianity?
Well, I just don't know if it's even just the paradox in Christianity. I don't know if it's unique to economics, right? I mean, it's countercultural across the board.
Right.
We're definitely called to a different standard, but you know, we have to figure that out. You know, the passage that affects me the most is I think of the passage of the wealthy young man.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was a very influential time. I had a relatively successful business career, allowed me to go into a nonprofit work. And almost 10 years back, I had 4 kids at the time. I'm sitting at Mass, and that was Saturday morning, and that was the hearing, that was the gospel reading. And, what does God say? He says, I do these things. I'm going to Mass. What else would I do? And he says, sell everything and follow me. And
yeah.
As he walks away sad because he had many possessions.
Right.
And a couple rows in front of me was Sister Petra. God bless her soul. She's in heaven. But this place, an 80-year-old nun with a full habit on. And I'm looking. Well, she gave up everything from a material sense. Right? I said, but what can this mean? It can't mean that I'm materially supposed to not have anything.
Right.
And I got kids to raise and take care of and house and educate and clothes. So what does it mean? And for me, that's when my wife and I made a decision that we should continue to be open to have more children, and that's how I give up everything. But I do think there is a Christian materialism that can be lived in detachment, in understanding the universal destination of goods, the paradox, I think, can be resolved in understanding those concepts.
Yeah. I wrote a blog. If you want to go to my blog, people out there, the website, of course, is physicalfitnesscompany.com, and you can search for, I believe you can search for The Rich Young Man, because I did an article on this very topic because one of my clients asked me about it. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Dean Brock. I mean, this obviously, there is a difference between someone called to the vocational state who is going to take maybe a vow of poverty, therefore take on one of the evangelical perfections, right, which we call poverty being one of them. And someone who's not in a vocation or is in a different vocation, such as you and me in marriage, we can't be devoid of all goods, right? If we were, how could we possibly live the lives that we were called to do?
No. That's what I mean about it, kind of this Christian materialism. It's our relationship with the goods that anything with Christ. It's a relational thing, right? We have a relationship with Christ, and how we live out the gospel, I think, has a lot to do with relationships with both people, obviously, first and foremost, but our relationship is the degree to which, and by the way, you can be attached to material goods at any level of wealth.
Right.
Right? I mean, the amount of wealth you have, it's harder, right? I think that obviously there are challenges, entrapments of the wealth, but a poor person can be attached to their, overly attached to their material belongings also. It's not unique to the level of wealth.
I really appreciate you bringing up the virtue of detachment too. My mother was always telling me that, you got to detach. Moms always have these ways of synthesizing the truest of things down to one word. And she's right, because anything you attach yourself to more than God, you're going to be on the wrong place, aren't you?
Right.
Well, these are your words. You said the very survival of our free market economic system will rest on those business leaders who understand why and how to put the human person at the center of economic life. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, it relates to what we were just talking about, to understand that that the gifts they've been given, the talents they've been given to create wealth and create material wealth, I think puts additional burdens on them, right? They have more to steward than for whatever reason, the way our economic system is set up today, it's business people who acquire the wealth, right? You could have a system for whatever reason that pushed it towards doctors or lawyers, but they have the wealth, so that gives them an additional responsibility to steward that towards the common good. I think here at our business school that a key to that is virtue. Well, with the Catholic social doctrine, we think the core principles of the Catholic social doctrine and the writings of the past 100 years, that kind of 125 years that make up that body of magisterium, have a lot to add and to help guide businessmen and women along that path. But even beyond that, just basic virtue that goes back to natural law and beginning of time is just a good method to follow that. Even if you weren't a person of faith, I think you can find in a virtuous business life the tools you need to have a humane business.
You're listening to the Crusade Channel on the Veritas Radio Network. This is the True Money Show. My guest today is Dean Philip Brock of Catholic University of America. We're trying to orient ourselves a little bit on, is there a better way to organize an economic system? I think most people recognize that there's something somewhat broken in America, and it may be as simple as an over-attachment to goods, or it could be something that we do have a systemic economic problem that we need to adjust for. So let me ask you that, Dean Brock. Are we searching for an economic system? In other words, or is it rather we're trying to properly orient man's heart and mind to his relationship to material goods?
I don't think we need a new system in the broadest sense of the word. I mean, I think, free enterprise system at a 30,000 square foot height level is the right system. But they all work together. It's kind of like the tripart system, kind of outlined by Michael Novak in his book, The Spirit of Democratic Capitalism, that there's three pieces. There's a government, there's an ethos, and there's an economic system, and they kind of work together. And the best are when the government's democratic. I believe, I think, Judeo-Christian, but at least some ethos driving the cultural and moral piece of it. And then the best economic system paired with those, I think, is a free enterprise, free market system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have, I think our challenge right now is there are pieces broken in all three legs. So it's the family, for instance, is affecting it. I mean, with the breakdown of the family, that's where the virtue is built in the populace to have the peace in the ethos. So that's hurting us. But there are core economic systems, crony capitalism. They're kind of the government and the concentration of power. Essentially, we have two movements in the country, right? Not to oversimplify it, but there's Occupy Wall Street, is concerned about concentration of power in corporate America, maybe Tea Party movement concerned about concentration of power in the government. They're both right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's and that's where we're trying to have both people understand that there's more in common there, and we got to fix both of it.
Right.
We got to fix it, the over concentration of power and kind of corporatism, and in the federal government.
844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. If you'd like to ask Dean Brock a question, you can also contact me via email, david@tffco.com. I came across you, Dean Brock, from Lewis Brown, who was on my show some time ago. And then I searched you out and found an article by Michael Wojcik. It's Wojcik, if anyone wants to look it up. The article is titled, Pope Favors Business Practices That Place Human Beings at the Center of Economic Life. And this is a quote from you from the article. Pope Francis speaks out against the excesses of business in general, including greed and the idolatry of money, consumerism, the exclusion of the poor and marginalized, and the misuse of technology. So the pontiff offers the remedy for these ills, Catholic social teaching, which promotes the common good, human dignity, subsidiarity, and solidarity. So my question to you on that topic is this. As we begin to speak of social justice and having the proper order and so on and so forth, we are immediately accused of being some kind of a crypto-Marxist or something, right? So how would you dissuade someone of that opinion? In other words, how do you distance yourself from being, you know, the new Marxist in Catholic garb versus someone who's just an apologist for the current market system?
Yeah, I think wherever possible, we have to challenge people to go, in terms of the church at least, we have to challenge them to go to source documents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost gotten to the point with Pope Francis that, you know, I tell people pretty much whatever the press, popular press reports, he said, you can almost guarantee he said the exact opposite.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and this is a point I made actually in that talk, that article is based on too, is, you know, just also to understand that the challenge that the Pope has, that when he speaks, rather few people, when he speaks to a billion people, right?
And, it's an easy job.
Americans tend to think, well, he's only talking to us. I think more often than not, he really isn't talking to us. So, particularly with Pope Francis, I encourage people, go read his speech. You know, one time we know that he was definitely talking to us as Americans was when he spoke on the floor of the Congress. You know, so go Google the video or find a text, it's in, you know, it's English, and look what he said there. That's the one, and he talked about business as a noble profession, noble vocation. He used the term the spirit of enterprise and its ability to create wealth. I mean, you know, very free market terms. You know, I think a lot of the other critique that people hear, he's talking to Central America and some of the things he grew up with and saw.
Right.
But so going to source documents, you know, we published out of the business school here, you know, a book we call The Catechism of Business, which, you know, we basically, because there are a lot of people who try to take on both sides of the aisle, will take Catholic social doctrine and try to pull it too far right or too far left. And what we did in this book was just put a series of very basic, fundamental business questions and then answered them with direct quotes from the different documents of the church, kind of a reference book for individuals to maybe whet their appetite to then go and read the full documents and maybe kind of make the longer documents more accessible. But that would be my key, is you got to go to the source document. The church, and understand that what the church does in Catholic social doctrine is lay out principles. I mean, they're never going to tell you what the minimum wage should be or that there needs to be a minimum wage. They're going to say that you should pay a family wage, but they leave that prudential judgment to the individuals in the business and in the setting and the right politicians to make that. They're not going to direct you and say, this is the right economic system.
Right. That's interesting. I'm going to ask you a question about wages in a little bit. I wanted to kind of go back real quick and ask you. So the book is called The Catechism of Business. That's available at the Catholic University website, you said, or not?
Yeah, on Amazon. I mean, it's edited by that was the founding dean of our business school, is now the provost for the university, Andrew Bella, and a moral theologian here, Joe Peasy. So, yeah, and they basically just edited it. There's very few comments, editorial comments. Basically, they might just add that we couldn't find anything on this topic or not. Now, it was prior. It probably came out just a month before Pope Francis was elected.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have, we're working on a second edition that will work in some of his documents, but the first edition is still out there.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, from that particular quote, I don't think anyone would argue, or few would argue, against the truths of the observations. For instance, excesses of business in general, greed and the idolatry of money, consumerism, the exclusion of the poor and marginalized, the misuse of technology. I don't think anybody would argue that those aren't bad things. So I guess the question is, why refuse the cure that's being offered?
Well, I mean, yeah, because for certain individuals, it challenges their power base. Because the cure that's being offered, if executed correctly, will limit their power.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where it comes to.
Yeah. You know, that's sad because I encounter that a good bit in my own practice. I mean, you can see this at all these different levels. But, like, for instance, you know, just the idea of virtue and detachment, okay? So I work in financial planning, which is accumulation of wealth and these alleged ideas of security and the idea that you can lay in a hammock from 65 to 85 and drink pina coladas, and that's the end-all, be-all of life. When people come to me, they come to me with kind of programmed with those mental images, I suppose we'll call them. And I start talking about other things like what's going to really make you happy and whether or not that end all be all sitting in a hammock with a pina colada is really all that wonderful. And then, of course, that brings up the talk about virtue and detachment and the idea of maybe planning and helping your children, et cetera. All these ideas of sacrifice making us truly happy. And what's peculiar about it, I guess why I brought it up in this context, is because people will both acknowledge the value of what I'm saying, but reject it because, like you said, it impacts them at a visceral level, like, well, but that's against everything I've ever heard that it was going to make me happy, so why should I pursue that? They kind of feel lost in their own dream, I guess, you might say.
Yeah. Well, I think we need some new narratives. I mean, academics need to have the arguments on the economics and the policy and everything, but I don't think we have enough good stories of what the real good life is and examples of even how the businesses run well. I mean, you look at studies that have been done, you know, those who are in business in media and movies and stuff, for instance, are almost 90% of the time they are the bad person, you know, the Gordon Gekko.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mr. Potter. And I think, you know, and so, for instance, greed and all these issues, I mean, they are not unique to business, right? They're greedy doctors, they're greedy lawyers. But for whatever reason, the business profession, and that's why I think the Pope repeatedly is calling it a noble vocation, is very intentional. And even who he has... you know, in terms of looking for narratives, you know, he has talked about as a model a gentleman from Argentina called Enrique Shaw. And I think people should Google and look this gentleman up. He's been gone to the first stage of being a servant of God, which is a different stage to become a saint. I think he's up to be beatified.
Okay.
You know, but this is the individual Pope Francis has said several times, that's the model. You know, and he was a wealthy guy from a wealthy family. But ran his business and ran it well and tried to implement, you know, the principles of Catholic social doctrine and was courageous and in some of those moments. And so he's not holding up as the model, you know, that we're all supposed to be, you know, they're all different paths of beauty.
Right.
Of life. There's different paths to holiness, you know, but we're not all called in Mother Teresa working with the poor. You can be a saint and be a wealthy individual. So.
Very interesting. You're listening to The True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, the Veritas Radio Network. In our second segment, we're going to come back and continue with Dean Brock and ask him a few more questions about maybe even just wages and the like. Again, you're listening to The True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.
Oprah Winfrey has no talk show these days. Harry Carey can't have a talk show anymore. But when David Simpson talks, people listen. And so will you to The True Money Show, exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network channels, Crusade.
Good.